Brother Chi is with us this Sunday. With some music, which is nice, right? Last week we got out of the world, so right. So I think the music adds a little bit of that. And I also wanted to share with you in the parish that Tony Marie is at the hospital, so we'll offer our mass for her today, and so for her well-being. And I'll see her tomorrow, so I'll take communion to her tomorrow. So we'll pray for her today, So as we move forward with the liturgy, the thing is that sometimes on Sundays it feels very full, the liturgy, right? Liturgia from the Greek means the work of the people. So liturgy is really the work of the people. And so when we come here on Sundays, it feels like we maybe have a lot of work to do, right? So we're celebrating Mother's Day, crowning the Blessed Mother, but also doing very much what those who experienced Jesus in his person did after his death and resurrection. Trying to figure out and to understand who Jesus is for us in our life today, who Jesus is in 2011, on May 8th, 2011, who Jesus is for us. And so these readings that we have during the mystagogia, the 50 days from his resurrection to Pentecost, and then finally the ascension, which is 40 days, but 10 days after that we celebrate Pentecost. And what we're trying to do in this period of time is to understand who Jesus is for us, how our relationship with Jesus is being defined in this post-resurrection experience of the disciples. And so we have the story of the early formation of our faith. The Acts of the Apostles is sometimes known as 2nd Luke. The same author who authored the Gospel of Luke also authored Acts. And so we have the reading from Acts of the Apostles, and we have the reading from the Gospel of Luke today. The story that we hear of the disciples on the way to Emmaus is only told in the Gospel of Luke at an interesting perspective, since Luke uses as a theological device this notion of journey. So in the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus making three important journeys from Galilee to Jerusalem, and then the last time he makes his journey to Jerusalem, we know what happens, right? And then the resurrection. And in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, just so you know, this reading is beginning to see how the Holy Spirit is moving in the community. How the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that God promised to leave with us so we wouldn't be orphans, is beginning to take hold of them. And they're, when the two disciples come back from Emmaus, they're excited to tell what happened, but the disciples in the upper room are already saying that he is risen. And then finally, on the Feast of Pentecost, we'll hear how the apostles appeared as if they were drunk, right? Because they go out and they preach in every tongue. But this early form of the proclamation of who God is for us is called the kerygma. It's a charismatic form of preaching. And so there's a formula for that in which we hear how the apostles, how Peter is really beginning to locate who Jesus is in the scriptures. And so we hear how the early church began to associate who Jesus is with David and even in the Gospel of Luke, we hear how Jesus, beginning with Moses, begins to explain to the apostles all of the things in Scripture that refer to him. And so in this kind of charismatic preaching, we have this early understanding of how the church began to really relate Jesus as the Messiah in all time and space, in all of the history of our salvation, from the beginning of the world all the way up to the moment that he rose from the dead. And so we too try to understand that in many, many ways. The letter of Peter that we have to Peter, again, is part of an ancient Christian hymn in which they sing, they would acknowledge who God was for them in the person of Jesus Christ. And then finally in this gospel of we call on the Road to Emmaus, it's very famous, there's many images of this, Rembrandt drew some and all those kinds of things. I was thinking that I don't know this for sure, but when I was meditating and spending some time with this gospel, you know, the apostles were in the upper room. And they, in the immediate aftermath of what had happened, they were really frightened. And so I think that as we see the Holy Spirit is increasing in them this courage and this commitment to their faith, but they're not there yet. And so we know that one of the disciples' name was Cleopas. And so he and this other unnamed disciple, are on their way to Emmaus. And I think that maybe they were thinking, we've got to get out of Dodge while we can, right? So because if something else happens, we don't want to be here. And so off they go, maybe like many of us, they made an excuse, right? Oh, we have to go here. But a 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus would have been quite a trip by foot, right? And so as they were walking, I was thinking, St. Ignatius of Loyola suggests a process in which we meditate with the scriptures, where we insert ourselves into the story. So I was doing that a little bit, and I was thinking that many of us knew what these two disciples were experiencing. They were grieving. They were grieving. The person that they had most believed in and most loved, maybe, and who had spent 3 years with living and eating and being together in close and intimate spaces, was gone from them. And so they were grieving. And I don't know about you, but in the Irish, when we grieve, we tell stories about the person who is no longer with us, right? We tell funny stories, we tell sad stories, some stories we tell are embarrassing, right? But we tell stories, and I think that that's what they were doing with each other. They were telling stories about who Jesus was, and that they were beginning, maybe, to lose some hope. Boy, he said he was coming back in 3 days, and it's already been 3 days and he's not here. I wonder what's going on. I wonder what's happening, right? And then this stranger comes, and he joins them on the journey, and he says, "What are you talking about?" Right? And they said, "Oh, all the things that happened in Jerusalem." And he says, "Well, what happened?" Right? Many, many, many ways. I think that's a dialogue that God has with us as well, right? What happened, right? What happened? We maybe ask that question to God sometimes, right? All of a sudden we find ourselves in circumstances in our life and we're saying the same thing. What happened? How did I get here, right? And so Jesus is, unknown to them, is walking with them, and he says to them, "Well, tell me what happened. Let me hear your version." And so sometimes we do that, right? We do that. In our grief, we tell our version of our loss. And so I think it's not unusual that we celebrate Mother's Day, we crown the Blessed Mother, and we hear in this gospel how some women of our group astounded us. Some women in our group astounded us. It's amazing, right? We talked about this on the resurrection morning. It was women who discovered the tomb empty. It was women who generally speak to us of faith. It is women who are at the foot of the cross. And so we have this notion, but women in first century Jerusalem couldn't give legal testimony, so they had to run and get some men to witness it, right? And so, but these two disciples recount again that, and we hear this for all time, that it was women who announced to us that Jesus had indeed rose from the dead. And so what we do, what I find in that expression, is the dignity that all women should enjoy, right, in terms of that relation, that special relationship with Jesus. But so then Jesus says to them, right, can you imagine he's a stranger, they still don't know who he is yet. And he says to them, "How foolish you are, how foolish you are." And then he begins, "And how slow your heart is," right, to hear. And so then he begins to recount for them from Moses all the way forward. We hear how Peter does the same thing in the Acts of the Apostles, how he begins to recount for the people of Israel how Jesus really is the fulfillment of all the prophets. And so he begins with the prophet Joel. And Jesus does the same thing. He begins to say to them, "Listen, this was all prophesied for you. And didn't you know that the Christ," right, "the Christ is the Messiah, the anointed of God, not Jesus in his historical person, but the Christ in his messianic mission. Didn't you know that he had to suffer all of these things and then raise from the dead?" And so so they were, we don't know this, but their hearts are on fire, right? Sometimes that happens for you and I. When we talk about things that we're so passionate about, our hearts are on fire. Our passion is so evident, right? And so that Jesus, the way that he does for us, and we'll celebrate this later in June, inflames our hearts, right? Inflames our heart with passion and love. We spoke about that last week, about your love for God. And then finally, this is the most tremendous thing that I think that reflects the dimension of who we are here at St. Francis. That the disciples who are walking on the road to Emmaus, and remember, journey is used here as a theological device to talk about how we come to a progressive understanding of who God is for us, and so it's a metaphor for our spiritual journey as well. But what happens is that they think that Jesus is going to go on. And it would have been dangerous to travel at night. We hear the story of the Good Samaritan, right, and the person who was mugged and beaten when he was traveling. It would not have been safe to travel at night. And so people's lives depended on the safety of others and on the safety of inns and places that offered hospitality. So these two disciples believe that this man who they had to cut their hearts on fire was going to keep going. And they said, no, stay with us. And it's in that act of hospitality, it's in that act of invitation to the stranger, that Jesus sits with them at table. And you know that table fellowship was an important dimension of that culture. Who you ate with, who you shared your life with, defined who you were. And so in that particular moment, when they their act of hospitality, and they asked Jesus to be with them, to stay with them, they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And that's a message for you and I. It is the invitation always of Jesus that we see when we wash each other's feet, that as I have done, you should do for me. In that act of hospitality, their eyes were open, and they recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And so what happened is that Jesus didn't stay with them long, right? He disappeared, but their hearts were so on fire that they couldn't stay where they were. And they went back to Jerusalem to tell the sisters and brothers what happened. It is a reflection of the early community, that the joy of the experience of the resurrection was so moving that they couldn't sit with it, that it compelled them to go and tell someone else, which is that paradigmatic way of preaching, is that God becomes so on fire in us that we can do nothing else but proclaim it out. And so these readings that we had as we move forward until Pentecost really begin to show the dimension of who God might be for us. Last week in the reading, we heard how doubting Thomas maybe was a reflection of who we are, but that in the midst of our doubts, we understand that who God is becoming for us meets us right where we're at and doesn't have any greater expectation of us. He does challenge us to grow, right? This reading, we hear that it is in the act of hospitality, it is in the act of loving each other, that maybe God appears to us. And as we begin to see these scriptural stories until Pentecost, we begin to see how Jesus really becomes in flesh for us in the world over and over and over again, right? And so from the moment of the resurrection, as the disciples became frightened and pulled up, and then we were saddened for that as well. And then we hear the Gospel of the Doubting Thomas, where we may doubt and we recognize ourselves in some of that. In these two disciples, we recognize some of ourselves in that, but we also see how Jesus begins to reveal himself to us. And in the revelation of that, how Jesus reveals who God the Father is for us. And so as we gather on this particular Sunday, and the Sundays moving forward, Pentecost, we'll get these different kinds of images of who and what Jesus asks of us, right? Jesus asks that of us as well. And so as we move forward with our liturgy, let's try and remember that God comes to us incarnate. God comes to us in flesh. And that sometimes the moment or the act of hospitality to God's most vulnerable and those most in need, God is revealed to us and to the other person. And that it is in the table fellowship, in how we understand how God's love moves forward in us as a community, that Jesus becomes in flesh again and again. After we do the crowning, I have some carnations for all of you here, right? I think it's a wonderful custom that we have. But I'm always reminded, when I was growing up, on Sunday, we would have, at my parish, there were 7 masses, beginning at 6 in the morning. And then at 12 o'clock, we would have what was known as the Solemn High Mass. And there would be, it was in Latin then, and there was a lot of high liturgy. And then after Mass, there were four altar boys. There was a crucifer, 2 acolytes, and a therapist. And so after whoever were the acolytes, we had to serve 6 o'clock Mass for the rest of the week. So I remember that I was, one Mother's Day, that I was one of the acolytes, and me and Tommy was even my best friend, and so we knew that we were going to have to walk to school, walk to church, and serve Mass, and then walk home, and then walk back to school. So it was not a pleasant Sunday for us. But probably because we were so involved in our own thinking, we had forgot to get our mothers anything for Mother's Day. And in our community, that would have been an anathema. Right, because our mothers would often say to us, which was the worst thing in the world, how disappointed they were. I would have rather had my mother beat me to death than say that she was disappointed in me. So what we did is after Mass, not very far from us, was our parish had two cemeteries. And so what we did after Mass is Tommy and I decided that we should get some flowers, but of course we had no money or best between us, maybe 50 cents. And so we went to Fresh Grade and we took some flowers from there for our mothers. And so what we didn't remember to do was take the tag off. So by the time we got home and we were overjoyed at this gift to our mothers, they weren't as happy as we were. So we had to take them back. But anyway, so in many cases, what I remember about that is some of those were carnations. I'm not suggesting that any of you do that. But it was a memorable Mother's Day for us. So let's stand and pray together on this Mother's Day. Let's profess our faith as we say, we believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,